I am so thankful to bring forth God's word to you tonight. Thankful for the guys that led in our worship services. Ryan, thank you for leading singing. Hunter, thank you for reading the scripture, and Daniel doing the prayer, and Aaron's going to be closing us out at the end. And I'm thankful for them. I also want to say I'm thankful for you for being here tonight. You could have been doing something else, but you decided to come and to learn more. It's just very encouraging to always see Christians wanting to learn more and that are eager to learn more. I'm also thankful for 5:45 services. I feel like I've taken these for granted sometimes, and I'm going to miss these when I'm gone. These have been a huge blessing in my life, and I'm thankful for Lee and Seth who have put these together. I want to just, before I really get into the lesson, I really want to tell you a funny story. Well, it's funny to me, and it may not be funny to you, but we'll see. It's about how I got to be a speaker for 5:45 services. It was during short course in January, and I guess a couple of buddies of mine, we were feeling like we needed to hit the gym, you know, that New Year's resolution type goal. So we all decided to go to the gym, run, I guess, lift some weights. And so, as soon as I walk in the gym, I see Seth. I see Seth, you know, getting ready for his workout. It looked like he had some headphones on, couldn't tell. I don't really remember. I think he did. But I was like, I asked my buddy, I was like, you know, is that the 5:45 guy? And he was like, you mean Seth? And I'm like, yeah. And I was like, okay, great. This is my chance to come up to him and be like, hey, I really want to speak. I didn't get on the list for some reason, but I really want to get on it now. And so I go up to him, forgetting his name was Seth. I literally just forgot everything at that point. I tapped him on the shoulder as awkwardly as I could be. And I said, hey, you're the 5:45 guy. And this man is probably, you know, he's getting ready for this workout, you know, this intense workout. He's probably listening to some, like, headbanging music. I don't know. But I probably just ruined his mood. But I was thankful that he got me on the list. There were just only two topics left. And one was understanding God's will, and that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. Understanding and accepting God's will, life as God wills it. And the other one was husband and wives. And I'm single as a Pringle, so I really didn't feel like doing that one. So I decided to take the understanding God's will. You know, this is a tough topic because we like to do things our own way. We don't like to listen to others, and it's hard for us to put our trust in someone because they break it, and that just ruins everything for us. But for God, it's sometimes hard for us to put our trust in God because sometimes it doesn't go our way. And this is a difficult topic, and I can see why many people didn't want to sign up for this. But understanding God's purpose for us is an essential thing to our Christianity. And I hope, trust, and pray that I can present this the best way possible for you. You know, we shouldn't have trouble putting trust in God because God is perfect. Turn to Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 20. It says, listen to advice and accept instruction, that you may gain wisdom in the future. It says in verse 21 in chapter 19, it says, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. You see, God's plan, it's going to stand no matter what. And we're told by God to trust Him, not to trust in our own understanding. And most of us have a desire to understand, to want to know more about God. But there are just so many areas where we have to acknowledge that we just cannot understand. And we must approve God's ways, even if it doesn't make sense, even if we can't comprehend them. You know, as I was making this sermon, I didn't get any verses to go along with this sermon. And it took me forever to think about a proverb verse that went along with understanding God's will and accepting it. And then as I was just writing it out, you know, it was like that cartoon, like a light bulb went off in my head. And Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6 just went straight along with it. You know, we're going to be looking at other texts this evening But I really want to focus on Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 right now. There are so many Christians. There are so many Christians that live in a personal bubble. In this personal bubble, we try to stay in this bubble by concentrating on our own happiness. And if we do live in this bubble, we can't pretend everything outside of that bubble doesn't affect us in any way. Then, when reality strikes, bad news or something negative breaks that bubble, then we are just overwhelmed with anxiety, fear, in a sense that there's just no meaning to life. See, God, He doesn't want us to live that way. He has something better for us. And I want to share with you a remarkable truth that can change your life, everything in your life. I really want us to understand God's will in our life tonight. In Proverbs 3 and verse 5, if you're already there, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." See, God sees the whole picture in our life, while we can just see a tiny corner of it. I have 5 points that I want to talk to you about. And then, as I normally say, the lesson is yours and you can take it home and share it with others. My first point is a way that some people live in this world, that the ways we shouldn't be living in this world is life is just about happiness. Life is just about happiness. And it's not just about happiness. Our life is worth more than we can ever imagine. We have a very specific purpose on this universe. And sometimes we have a problem discovering God's purpose because it goes against the world. It goes against society and the things that we have learned from this world. The world wants you to think the ultimate purpose in life is just to be happy. Now, I'm not just saying happiness is bad, because happiness comes from God. Joy comes from God. But when something bad happens to us, and when we have that attitude that happiness is the only thing to life, one result is when we face job difficulties, health problems, conflicts in our relationships, problems in our families, or we just see the latest news story that just irks us, that fleeting of happiness dissolves and we mentally and we emotionally break down. I have a quote for you. You don't have to agree with it. It's not from the Bible. It's from Albert Einstein. It says, "A life directly chiefly towards the fulfillment of personal desires will sooner or later lead to a bitter disappointment." Read that again. It says, "A life directly chiefly towards the fulfillment of personal desires will sooner or later always lead to bitter disappointment." See, what happens when that bubble of happiness is burst by your boyfriend dumping you? Or what happens when you lose your job? What happens when you find out that your best friend has cancer? See, these difficult experiences, they're out of our control. And that happiness bubble is broken, and what's left is stress. And what's left is grief and also sadness. Proverbs 24, verse 10, it says, "If you faint in the day of adversity," which we're all going to have a day of adversity. Maybe you're going through a day of adversity today. It says, "Your strength is small." Don't faint when that day of adversity comes for you. See, building your life around understanding God's ultimate purpose and gives you a chance to live beyond your means, live beyond your limitations, to love, to sacrifice, to give. Finding a life of meaning, of purpose, is secret to dealing with stress and anxiety and helplessness that can engulf our lives every day. So, where can we find God's purpose? Where can I find God's purpose for me? Well, the answer is not found on a Facebook test. It's definitely not at the hibachi store in one of those fortune cookies. If you want to find God's purpose, you need to look within the Bible. And that brings me to my second point, is that God reveals our purpose in the Bible. See, the Bible is a story about everything. It's about creation. It's about the Creator who made it all. It's about God's desire for His children and for His own humanity. It's and humanity's desire to be independent from our Creator. It's the story of how Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is working to bring us back to God. I want to take a look at 1 John in chapter 3, if you want to turn there with me. In 1 John, there's three remarkable statements that I want to look at in 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 1. It says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure." There, like I said, there are three remarkable statements that John makes in these verses and helps us to understand God's purpose. He says in the first part, he says, "See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God." See, God created us for a reason. He gave each of us free will. And the problem with free will is that we all can make bad choices. We live in a world where billions of people are just making the wrong choices every day. There's a way to get out of that mess, and that causes us to make those choices that are harmful to our soul. Well, how can we do that? Return to our Creator. Return to God and discover His purpose. So what is our purpose? Here is the main purpose of my lesson right here. You can write it down. Write it down. Remember this. I just want you to remember that we are to be children of God. And act like children of God. And obey the Father at all cost. Continue reading it. It says, "Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is." See, at the very beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, it states that human beings were made in the image of God. And thousands of years later, John wrote that those who respond to God's call, understand His will, are offered a future in which we can be like Him. For we can see, shall see Him as He is. Now, John wrote that we don't know exactly what we will be like in this promised future, but we will be like God, just as human children are like their human parents, in the same kind of beings. And also the reason why we don't know exactly what we will be like is that our human minds can never and will never fully comprehend the infinite God. But we can strive every day of our life to be like God. The third point I want to point out in this passage, it gives us a daily direction to God's purpose. In verse 3, it says, "And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure." You know, this means that to fulfill God's purpose, you got to do something. You can't just sit there and expect God to fulfill your life. You have to do something. Now, I'm going to elaborate this more later on the sermon. See, God created human beings in His image because He wants His children to live with Him forever. Not as pets, not as angels. Those aren't like God. But we, as humans, can be like God. My third point for you tonight is living God's will starts today. It doesn't start tomorrow. It starts right now. See, if you look closely in 1 John, in chapter 3 and verse 2, you'll notice that word, "now," the children. We are in verse 2, it says, "Beloved, we are God's children now." See, God is offering you a future, but he's also giving you a fulfilling and meaningful life right now. You can have a relationship with your God as your Father every day of your life. See, God wants to have that personal one-on-one relationship with you. The ultimate meaning in this life is about your relationship with God the Father. It's about being God's child now while looking forward to the promised future. Go to Philippians. I love what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians is my favorite book of the Bible. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12, Paul understood this and understood that he had to keep going on. He had to keep pressing onward to the goal. And that's what he told the church here in Philippi. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12, he says, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Jesus Christ has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ." Now, unfortunately, some people don't press on. Some people don't keep moving forward. And unfortunately, there are many people in this world, even some Christians preach a health, wealth gospel. They make grace a cheap message by giving a way that, you know, Jesus just loves you just the way you are. I'm sure you've heard that before. I know those type of people that just say, "Oh, Jesus just loves you just the way you are." Well, and if we have that type of attitude, that leaves us staying the same. It leaves us remaining just the way we are and not becoming more like God, not becoming more like Jesus. In Jeremiah 29, verses 12 through 13, remember what God inspired to Jeremiah. He wrote, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me, and when you seek me with all your heart." We must stop seeking our own purpose by attempting to stay in a bubble of pursuing of our own self-determined purpose. Seek God's will with all of your heart. Authentic Christianity is not half-hearted. It's not law-ignoring, part-time, a warm religious feeling. It's about giving up everything to receive everything God will give us. Authentic Christianity is about being restored to God's purpose. It's about a transformation. Authentic Christianity is about breaking out the natural human bubble of self-centeredness. It is about the dynamic force of God in your life, changing you from the inside out, restoring you to God's purpose, facing life's difficulties with faith, with hope, and trust in God. Proverbs 28, verse 1 says, "The wicked flees when no one pursues." But listen to this, it says, "The righteous, they're bold as a lion." My fourth point for you tonight is to help us understand God's purpose for us, God's will for us, to understand God as a family. When you understand God's purpose, that He wants us to be like Him, God truly becomes your Father. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. "Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble. By it many become defiled. That no one is sexually immoral or an unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal." All right, well, that's not the right verse. I guess I made a typo, so I don't know. All right, so what I want to get at is that Jesus Christ came to this earth to be just like us, to be like children, to be like you and I, to share an experience as flesh and blood so that He can release us from the death and give us eternal life. See, the Bible reveals Jesus in many roles that we could just never match up to. Messiah, Lord, Savior, Master, High Priest. Those names we can never match up to, but He is mentioned as our brother. And that's a great feeling to know that Jesus is our brother and that he came down to this earth to be just like us. You ever feel too overwhelmed to approach God sometimes? You just feel like you're too weak. You said, you know, why is God just going to listen to me? Remember that Jesus Christ made it possible so that you can have that relationship with God. He helps you bring to him. See, God is an incredible family. And your father and our brother Jesus Christ dedicated their lives to help us to be part of that. My last point for you is that if we want to understand God's will and accept his will into our lives and to live it out on a daily basis, we have a part to play. If you want God's purpose in your life to become your purpose, then there is something you must do. Our ultimate purpose has been given to, it's been given by God, our Creator, and nobody can make you accept that purpose. Many people, when they hear this message, they will just sadly just simply walk away from it. But if you want God's purpose, what do you need to do? Well, the Apostle Paul answered this very question in his letter to the church in Ephesus. And go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 1, it says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children." See, there was no part-time or convenient Christianity for Paul. He taught true Christianity is nothing less than trying to walk like our Father, act like the Father, talk like the Father, and think like the Father. To be imitators of our Father. So when I was back home for Christmas break, I got to preach at one of the local congregations in my hometown in Columbia, South Carolina. And I got to deliver the word there, and my papa worshiped there for quite a while. And he passed away in 2015. But I got to preach there, and a man came up to me, and he said, "You know, Caleb, he's like, I see your grandfather in you when you preach, you know." And when I heard that, my eyes filled with tears, and I was just so happy to hear that, because my grandpa, my papa, is someone I looked up to. He's someone I looked up to on a daily basis. But think about this. This would be a nice compliment. You know, if someone sees you in Gano, if someone sees you at Walmart or wherever that you are, they come up to you and say, "You're a Christian, right?" And they're like, and you're like, "Yeah." And like, "I can tell because you act just like Jesus." That would be the ultimate compliment. See, if we want God's purpose in our life, then our Christianity, it has to be more. It has to be more than just coming to church, singing a few praises, just throwing some money in the collection plate. We have to do more to strengthen our faith. Again, Paul said that we are to be imitators of God as dear children. You must see yourself as someone whom God sees as a dear, precious beloved child, a child who desires to be like his father. Keep on reading with me in Ephesians 5 and verse 2. It says, "And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." See, there are two things that a person needs to do to be called a true child of God. And that's the first thing: you must realize that you have bad choices in your life and that you are a distorted image of God, and that you need God's forgiveness. And that forgiveness is offered by God through the life, death, and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's keep on going in Ephesians chapter 5. He says in verse 3, "But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not be be named among you as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." Listen to this. He says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God has not come upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partakers with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. You see, how can we imitate God? How can we walk as children of light? Sometimes we like to think like we're too weak. We're too limited. We're too confused. It's not impossible to be an imitator of God. We can do it based on our own intelligence, our own power, and our own spiritual insight. Remember I said the first step into becoming a child of God is saying, God, you know, I need to forgive my sins. I've realized that I've made some bad choices. You have to realize that you've sinned and that you need God. Then after that, you can submit to the work of Jesus Christ as your divine brother. And then that next step is receiving the power from God to have that purpose fulfilled in your life. The Apostle Peter spoke to a large crowd and told them about the work of God, what is doing through Jesus Christ. And when many people heard this, they were moved with God in their hearts. Peter told them to repent, be baptized, and receive God's Spirit in Acts 2:38. See, we have a very specific purpose in this universe, but we also have a choice in that. The truth is, you don't have to respond to God's purpose. You can just keep on going the way you have been and ignore God's calling as His child. You can ignore the commandments if you want, but be warned. Jesus told a parable in Luke 14, verse 15 and 24. I'm going to paraphrase it here. About a man who invited people to a big banquet. And the man spared no expense in preparing something that would be just the absolute best for his guest. But when the man sent his servants to invite the guests, those people, one by one, gave an excuse for not being able to attend. And the excuses, they seemed good to the people that were involved. They said, I need to take care of my property. I have a lot of work to get done. I just got married and I need to spend more time with my wife. See, what the man was offering was much more wonderful than what they wanted for their lives. But you know what happened? They lived in that bubble, that selfish bubble, and they pursued their own happiness and their own ways. And because of that, they missed out. The host eventually rejected those whom he invited and asked others to attend his banquet instead. God is offering you His best. He wants you to realize His ultimate purpose for you to live as His child now and to be changed into His spiritual image forever in His kingdom. He wants to make His purpose become your purpose. Are you going to seize God's gift? Are you going to accept the invitation? Are you going to find another excuse and say, you know, I just don't have time for this. I got too much going on in my life. You know, I will do God's purpose later in my life. See, in light of what God is offering you, I have one simple question to ask you. Are you willing to give up everything to receive everything God wants for you? God wants to give you a meaningful, fulfilling life. He wants to help you when you face difficult times. He wants you to have a more meaningful relationship with Him, one-on-one relationship. I hope, trust, and pray that you will strengthen your relationship with God every day of your life. And if you don't have a relationship with the Father, you can do that now by putting on Jesus Christ in baptism. And then you can fulfill God's purpose. See, you and I, we're born with an incredible spiritual power from God, and it's the power to overcome the sufferings and problems of this life. And another great thing is that we can be imitators of God. Thank God for this. Thank God for this on a daily basis because Jesus made this possible. You and I were born to fulfill our original, ultimate purpose to be children of God who are like Him as immortal, divine beings living forever with Him in His kingdom. Your life is worth more than you imagine. Now it's time to give up everything, to become everything God wants you to be. If you need anything right now, come together as we stand and as we sing.